Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. I just cut off Mr. Girardi to talk to you, you know. I mean, Sean, come on.
My apologies to the legend. Yeah. Basketball season's getting closer.
I mean, and it is. That was actually part of the conversation.
Sure.
So, mercy. Okay, now what do we have on today's show? Today's show is, I think, I like today's show. Next half hour, Tim May from the Columbus Dispatch. 4:06 after the play-by-play call of the day, Paul Keels, the play-by-play voice of Ohio State football and basketball. Final half hour, Stanley Jackson, BTN. Can you live with that?
We can deal with that. Packed and stacked. Right.
Tomorrow we'll have our high school roundup, or for high school roundtable tomorrow. Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, tomorrow. Friday, Kajana Carter. And, of course, my brother. I saved the best for last. I sent you writing all these down.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure put them out on Twitter. I mean, I'm sure I have an account somewhere, right?
Follow the show at Steve Jones PSU.
Sure, absolutely. Yes. Yep. Absolutely. But that's what we have coming up. So today, Tim May, Paul Keels, Stanley Jackson. Tomorrow, high school announcers, Tony Knopp. Friday, Kajana Carter. My brother. Trying to think if there's anybody else I'm missing here. I think that's it. I think that's all of them put together there.
Tony DeFazio or not till next week?
We'll have Tony on too. That's right. We'll have Tony on. Okay. Tony will be on Friday as well.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. And we do have Tony. Talk about your guy Roethlisberger now out. Like, you know, today it's the rest of the season now, right? It's 4 to 6 weeks.
According to Chris Mortensen, ESPN, he mentioned that this morning in a post. And you take it to the bank when it comes to Mort, with his sources. So
4 to 6 weeks.
Yep.
So you lean to four, which means he would miss three games. Because one of them is a bye week. Okay.
So this looks like the last game. If that goes true to form, the last game he would miss would be the Thanksgiving game versus the Colts.
Right. Yeah. Now at that point you're out of the race, but still you'll feel better you got him back, right?
Well, sure.
I mean, how many? What do you have? New England, Baltimore. What's the third game?
New England, Baltimore, and then it's Dallas.
Wow, you could be over.
Wow. Yeah, they may only win. They could. I mean, they got the Browns in there too. So, could it be the win would be the Browns?
One of the Browns?
Browns should be. I believe the Browns game is at before Thanksgiving.
Okay, so they've got. Now is the Dallas game Thanksgiving?
No.
That's, okay, so
yeah, that's
so they would miss, he would miss the Patriots, the Ravens. Then is it the Cowboys?
Correct. Then the Browns on the 20th, and then Thanksgiving the Colts.
Well, the first game back might be the Browns then.
Well, could be if it's not if it's
if it's 4 weeks.
If it's, the short
if it's
term.
4 weeks, if it's 4 weeks, it would be three games plus the bye week.
Yeah. Or if it's the entire 6 weeks, his first game back would be December 4th against your New York Giants.
Oh, they can't possibly beat the Giants. They're just way too good, especially defensively. You watch the Giants; it's like you know, it's like watching the 85 Bears. Maybe not.
Only much more expensive.
Well, it's like watching the 85 Bears, only more porous.
Heck, I could have took that from the game that this past Sunday with Miami. Ugh.
They got problems. I mean, on paper, New England's going to crush them. On paper, Baltimore's going to beat them. And on paper, Dallas is going to crush them. That's on paper. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. But on paper, they've got to be the underdog in all three games without him. Now, at this point, this is where the suit is whining, complaining. And I'm reminding the suit that there's life after this.
Oh, there is. I'm not whining and complaining. I'm just being extremely realistic. But I'm just thankful that the Jets announced that Geno Smith was going to take over quarterback today for Ryan Fitzpatrick. So I got a good chuckle out of that.
So here's my question to you. Who would you rather have quarterbacking you, Geno Smith or Landry Jones?
Oh, Landry Jones, without a doubt. At least we saw a little bit of good out of Landry last year when he came up off the bench when Vic got hurt and led them to that great win over Arizona. But then, not much to write home to mom about after that. Get a load of this. I saw this on social media today. I got another laugh out of this. Ross Tucker, who normally fills in for Dan Patrick, was on Twitter. Yeah. And he goes, yeah, the Steelers should trade with the Jets to get Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I'm like, really? Come on. No.
Now, in terms of money, no. But
Exactly.
But.
Yeah, if that trade were to happen, how much would the Steelers be on the hook for?
Well, number one, it's not my money. I don't care.
Right.
No, I'm serious. I'm not being an idiot here.
No, not at all. No.
I mean, it's not my money, so why do I care how much they're on the hook for? I would seriously consider it. I know Fitzpatrick is struggling. He's at 57%, which is far below the league number.
If Ben was done for the year, I would consider it.
Yeah. Right. I understand that completely. Landry Jones is no more than a backup quarterback. And that's not a put down. That's just a fact of life. Some guys are the story of the old Tommy Armour III story I've told how many times about, hey, look, he's not Tiger Woods, but they're still really good. Landry Jones is good enough to be in the league, but he's not good enough to be a starting quarterback in this league. So he's a backup quarterback. So you're hoping that he can fill the void, fill the breach for at least 3 weeks. Okay? Not easy to do. At least he has game speed. It's not as if he didn't win games last year. I think he won at Kansas City and he beat Arizona, right?
He brought the team back over Arizona. Last year, but then it was the Kansas City game when he faltered.
He faltered, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so he's a lot worse than I thought.
Yep.
So
that was when Charchandrick West, is that his name, the running back for Kansas City? I know he's not with Kansas City this year, but he was like their third or fourth string running back last year, and
yeah,
led them to win that game.
You sound kind of disgusted by that.
That was a That was a disgusting performance that day. Yeah.
I don't see how you can be NFL taught for years now and still not have good footwork. And he doesn't. He does not have good footwork. That's why he's so inaccurate. I expect the Steelers to keep as much as possible underneath, where it's a lot of pitch and catch stuff that's safe for him. I don't see him taking a lot of chances. And he's got Bell that helps. I would say he's got Brown that helps, except when he played last year, he made Antonio Brown invisible. I mean, there are only two things that take Antonio Brown out of a game: Richard Sherman and Landry Jones. I mean, think about that. I don't understand how you can have a dynamic player like Antonio Brown and as a quarterback not rely on him a bit. He didn't rely on him at all. At least last year he didn't. So this is a bad situation. This, and you don't have a good defense.
Well, yesterday your conversation with Ron Cook for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Cookie brought up a great point. The defense just relies so much on the offense to have such a great performance. The defense just does enough. And not having Cam Hayward is huge. I mean, missing his first pro game ever last week wasn't good. No Shazier, but they've played a lot of games without Shazier before.
But hey, what's the trade for Tony Romo?
You're funny.
Even wounded, he's better than what you got.
Just put Mark Sanchez up to the number two quarterback role in Dallas. Okay. I mean, Pittsburgh's secondary is still a work in progress. They're getting better. But, yeah, it's huge without Cam, without Hayward in there.
Yeah, Hayward hurts.
Oh, there's no doubt. Absolutely.
It's a long road for your guys. It's a long road, and they hit a stretch of the schedule that's not good for them to hit. Maybe because, obviously, New England, Brady's still getting himself into game shape. I mean, I don't care how long you're out. I think sometimes the fans and maybe the media don't quite get is that when you're coming back from whatever, it's hard to flip the switch that suddenly you're in game shape again. You're in game timing again. It takes a little bit to get into that. Now, Brady's about to go into his third game. That's frightening because now he might find some of that game timing. Landry Jones has been sitting out, so it's going to take him a while to get into game timing, too. Then you've got Baltimore. Baltimore's not a great team, but Flacco gives them a puncher's chance. Suggs on defense gives them a puncher's chance. And then you get Dallas, and Dallas is playing great. I mean, if they can't stop the Miami ground game, how are they going to handle the Dallas offensive line and Zeke Elliott?
No chance.
I mean, very difficult, tall hill to climb. Now, thankfully, they play in the same division as Cleveland. That stops the bleeding on a lot of losing streaks.
That's kind of rare for that division. I mean, normally you would talk about the AFC North being, one of the creams of the crop divisions of the league. But you look at, you look at the other teams: Cleveland, Cincinnati, Baltimore. I mean, it's lukewarm at best.
But here's what would bother me about Cleveland. I watched a little bit of the Cleveland game. I mean, Cleveland's been close the last couple of games. They're actually starting to play decently. Not with a lot of confidence, but they're playing decently. So it's not as if they're playing poorly. They don't have a win yet, but they keep getting themselves in the neighborhood to win. They're not losing 35-7.
Yeah, but if you tell me at the end of the season who'd be the first to lose his job, Hugh Jackson or Todd Bowles, I'd say without a doubt it'd be Todd Bowles.
Well, Hugh Jackson just started this year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's fine. Todd Bowles isn't going to lose his job either.
You don't think?
No. No, I do not. I mean, it's only his second year, right?
Right. Well, it depends on how patient Woody Johnson is.
Nah, I don't think he's going to lose his job. No way. I think Todd Bowles, number one, is a really good defensive mind. Really good. And he can't help what their quarterback situation is. I mean, let's face it. They brought Ryan Fitzpatrick back, albeit late in the game, in the summertime, with the idea that he could do the same thing he did last year. Now, Decker's out. Marshall's really, really good. I'm not big on their run game, and I don't think it helped them at all that people forget DeBrickasaw Ferguson retired. I don't think that helped the cause much. We will take a break, because by doing so, it'll help our cause on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
It is always a pleasure to occupy this chair. It is great to be with you on this Wednesday edition of the show. Tim May, Columbus Dispatch, in the next half hour. We'll then be joined by Paul Keels, the play-by-play voice of Ohio State football and basketball, in the next hour. Final half hour, Stanley Jackson of BTN. Tomorrow, our high school football announcers, Tony Knopp, CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management. Friday, we will have on the show Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, Kajana Carter, and my brother. So there you go. That is a full plate. Full plate. Leading into Saturday's game. Appears to be some excitement around it. You know, it's funny because somebody came up to me. It was yesterday. Oh, how pumped are you for this game? And I said, well, I'm all ready for the game. I said, you don't seem excited. I said, look. I said, I got to do the game, you know? I mean, so I got to get ready for, like I always do. I almost feel like I disappoint people when I say that.
Well, you keep an even keel and, you know, got a job to do.
I mean, you're supposed to do a job.
Yeah.
Now, do I think this is awesome? It's great. No, am I looking forward to it? I look forward to every game. So, yeah, am I looking? Sure, of course I am. But at the same time, you can't be some wild nut sitting there going, oh, here's a big game, and then not do what you're supposed to do. I mean, I've had to do hoop club, basketball, quarterback club. I got to do the talk show tomorrow.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K-Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us today. Time now for this day in sports history. 1933, basketball was introduced. They made the decision on this date in 1933 to allow basketball to be a part of the 1936 Olympic Games in Berlin. In 1998, Former heavyweight boxing champion Mike Tyson got his boxing license back after he lost it for biting Evander Holyfield's ear during a fight. Now, why would he do that? All right. Yeah, I forgot he's Mike Tyson. 2014. DeMarco Murray, then of the Dallas Cowboys, became the first NFL player to run for more than 100 yards in each of his first seven games of a season. And that is this day in sports history. One of the better beat writers out there that does a great job covering Ohio State football, also Ohio State basketball on top of that, happens to be Tim May from the Columbus Dispatch. Tim, welcome back. It's great to have you on the show.
I appreciate it, and I'm glad you read that exactly how I wrote it.
Well, and really, I thought everything was perfect. There's one word here I would have changed, but that's all right. You deserve it. Let's get to Ohio State. You get into, you see a team go through various things, adversity, how they handle good times. They found some adversity the last couple of weeks in various forms. So what did they show you when that happened?
They found ways to win those games or win those situations, and you know, that always bodes well. But of course, you know, they would prefer not to be in those situations, and so you know, last week at Wisconsin, for example, I mean, Wisconsin ran the ball fairly effectively. What am I talking about against Ohio State? But Ohio State was able to bow up in the red zone and force three field goals, and of course, you know, keep the game within striking distance, or keep the lead within striking distance. And finally, in the end, they were able to, you know, erase a 10-point deficit. And then after giving up a drive where Wisconsin retook the lead, they were able to drive down and kick the tying field goal. And I know that sounds rudimentary and almost play-by-play about what happened, but, you know, it's really funny because they had kind of taken the game over in the second half. Wisconsin only had 11 yards of offense in the third quarter after running up 313 in the first half. I mean, that's by far more than anybody else has done against Ohio State this year, first half-wise. And yet the defense still gave up a drive when the game was kind of on the line. Right. But the offense came back, saved that day. And then in overtime, both the offense and defense made huge plays. And reminiscent, really, of that double overtime, the way they won in double overtime at Penn State 2 years ago, with JT Barrett scoring two touchdowns, and of course on the ultimate play, Joey Bosa with a shove sack of Christian Hackenberg, shoving the running back into him. And, you know, it's really funny how we'll see if these two wins have the same effect, because, you know, I remember talking to Joey Bosa right after that game was over in the dimly lit bowels of Beaver Stadium.
Yeah.
And, you know, talking about, you know, boy, this team, man, this was a really close game. Nobody expected this. And he goes, basically, he said he thought the team came together that night, and he thought it would show down the line. And, of course, he turned out to be extremely right, because they went on to win a national championship. We'll see if this kind of win at Camp Randall Stadium, and you know what I'm talking about. Camp Randall, yep, is one of the, as Urban Meyer says, one of the top five atmospheres, mm-hmm, in college football, and he, yep, rates Beaver Stadium in the top five also. But we'll see if that's the impetus for this team to really take off now.
Obviously, Barrett's a focal point of what happens. I want to get to him in a moment. What other area of the football team do you think has grown that has actually made a difference in the opening half of the season for them?
Well, without a doubt, their offensive and defensive lines have played well, and you replaced three starters on both of those, and then the two starters they had coming back on the offensive line are playing different positions. And I'm speaking of Pat Elflein, center. He was the right guard, all Big Ten right guard last year, and
Billy Price
moved from left guard. Yeah, Billy Price moved from left guard to right guard. And then they've got, you know, those three new starters up there, but they've gotten better and better as the year's gone on. I mean, that was a hell of a defense they went against last week. I mean, I think Wisconsin can play with anybody defensively. Yet Ohio State still found a way to make some plays when the passing game was struggled again early, but it picked up steam obviously in the second half. And then, you know, without a doubt, I think the player who's made the biggest difference on defense and allowed them to play the way they want to play is Marshawn Lattimore,
right,
the cornerback who took the place of Eli Apple, the number 10 picked in the draft last year by the New York Giants, or this year by the New York Giants. And you always heard how good Marshawn Lattimore would be if he could keep his hamstrings from popping. And now he's very healthy right now, and he's playing on an elite level, in my opinion. I mean, he's playing as well as the other cornerback, the only returning starter back there in the secondary, Gerrion Conley, and that's allowed them to play nine-man football with the rest of their defense.
You've seen JT Barrett go through it all, Tim. You've seen him ascend to the starting job, be successful in the starting job where he's a Big Ten Player of the Year, get hurt, have to watch a national championship, lose his job, retake his job, and then be back in charge. Through all of this, what has impressed you about him and what makes him a special college player?
Well, he doesn't pout. At least he doesn't pout in public. He doesn't air his dirty laundry in public. He's just a cool customer, for want of another word. He's tough. As Penn State fans found out 2 years ago, he's very tough. I mean, he suffered an MCL sprain in the first half of that game 2 years ago. Came back, and he scored two grinded-out touchdowns running the ball in overtimes. That told you was an insight into his toughness. And then, you know, he's a better passer than he's shown the last couple of weeks. And I'm talking about, you know, usually from a more consistent basis. And yet, I say that, and he leads the Big Ten in pass efficiency.
Right.
So does Ohio State. But the main thing that sets him apart, and I know it sounds like, you know, mamby-pamby, whatever you want to call it, he is a ridiculous leader. I mean, everybody on the team, offense, defense, special teams, they lean on him for leadership, and he delivers. And he's a real – when you're talking with him, you can barely hear him, you know, in the media sessions we have. He has one of those little deep, quiet voices. But when he wants to rile them up, I mean, he can get them going. And he never seems fazed by anything. If he throws a big-time touchdown pass, he feels good about it, but kind of moves on, you know, from that. I mean, he celebrates a running touchdown with a – maybe a gesture or two, but then he moves on. And I think that's what stands out about him more than anything. He's kind of the guy you would pick to be your captain if you could pick a captain on this football team.
Finally, in Columbus, can people eat up enough information about Ohio State football?
Well, I don't know. We got us covering it. Of course, we have a blog. We have a website, and along with our regular newspaper, and which we can – you know, contribute buku articles to all the time. I can't even remember how many websites actually cover Ohio State football in some form or fashion, but it may be as many as 8 or 10. The fans are big time on it, and of course they're particular about it. I mean, the first half last week, you know, on some of the message boards, people were saying, "Hey, get Barrett out of there, he's no good," and you know,
yeah.
I mean, they're very demanding. And, you know, you win a national championship for them, and, it, you know, I'm talking about Urban Meyer, and everybody thinks, well, you should do that every year, you know. And
right.
It's really funny what you create. I mean, you know, you live in Happy Valley, man. I mean, it's the same. It was the same way there under Joe Pa, I'm sure. And,
yeah, it was.
You know, and then in Joe Pa's waning years, you know, people couldn't wait to get him out of there. And now, you know, wow, I mean, those years look damn good, you know, compared to the last several as they've tried to come back from those sanctions and stuff. But, you know, I'm looking at Penn State right now. That was a team that I was going, man, what is that Penn State when they were playing against Michigan? I mean, I even tweeted about it because they just didn't look like a big-time Penn State team. And now they come back, you know, against Maryland a couple of weeks ago. I mean, they dominated that game, and it looks like the new spread offense they put in, they finally got a feel for it now, and with McSorley and playing off of Barkley and vice versa, and it looks like a team that can go places.
Tim, it's always a pleasure. I know you've got a couple other things you need to take care of, so I wanted to make sure we get you to that. Thanks so much for the time, as always. Look forward to seeing you Saturday.
You got it, man. I do, too.
Tim May. Columbus Dispatch, Paul Keel's next half hour, Stanley Jackson final half hour. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Great to have you with us.
Headed toward the top of the hour at 1-800-795-9565. Paul Keels, voice of Ohio State football basketball, next half hour. And we'll hear from Paul as what he has to say. Stanley Jackson, BTN, final half hour. Get a read from all of them as to what's going on.
I'm seeing a lot more of Stanley Jackson on BTN these days now that they have that new tailgate show format on Saturday. Stanley's doing a lot of studio time.
Yeah, with Spice.
Yeah.
Spice Adams. Anthony Adams. Oh, Anthony Adams is and always was one of the biggest characters I was ever around in my life. He would go up to Joe, literally in practice. He'd go up behind Joe and pick him up. You're like, and just pop me down.
You can see him doing that, sure.
I'd be standing there like, oh, what are we doing? And he'd do it on like a Thursday or whatever. Maybe it, like this is at the end of practice, not in the middle of practice.
Never on a Tuesday.
No. And it's like, what are you doing? Put Joe Paterno down. I was like, what are you doing? He's like, yeah, put me down. I think that's the last thing he expected. How about that? So. Oh, boy. Well, it'll be Chris Fowler, Kirk Herbstreit, and Sam Ponder as the broadcast team on Saturday night. I expect Mr. Fowler to be here probably in town tomorrow. Chris tweeted out today that he had a long talk with Urban Meyer, and Urban Meyer talked about how everybody does situations now. I don't care if it's football practice or basketball practice. Go to a basketball practice. It's final minute. It's final 30 seconds. It's 4 minutes to go. You know, they do a lot of situations. You know, what's the score? Down six, up six. You know, down one, up one. Yeah. Football, same thing. All right, 2 minute drill. Red zone. Overtime. Yeah, and over you go through all these different scenarios. Penn State now does the chaos period. Well, yesterday the chaos period was, I think it was actually a start of the game yesterday. It was plus 25. Okay. And offense coming out, Farhash. And, you know, Joe Moorhead and Brent Pry do not know what situation they're going to get. So then they've got to coach it from that point. And you go from there. Well, that's all part of situational football. Now, back to the original point about Chris Fowler. He said that one area where Urban Meyer, when he coaches situational football, is really obsessed about is the red zone. And he feels that not only is it payoff during the 60 minutes of the game, but he feels that Ohio State has become an effective overtime team because of the emphasis on the red zone, because essentially you get to the 25-yard line, you are in the red zone. In fact, most coaches will tell you they feel the red zone is the 25-yard line. It's just easier for them to put into play the thought process of the 25-yard line because of overtime. And so that's what he said. We work on it extensively. He said that's what's made us a really good overtime team. Now, Penn State over the years has been a really good overtime team, too. Yeah. Saw they handled overtime against Minnesota. And we'll see now they've handled overtime against Boston College, you know, things like that. I mean, so Penn State's been able to do well for the most part in overtimes over the years. Same thing. You know, it's all coaching of situational football. How do you handle it? And that's what everybody tries to do. This, I mean, that's a big thing for every coach. Coaching situations. It isn't just, okay, let's do some drills, and let's do whatever. No.
Nope. It's not how it works anymore.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things he talked about, why they've been so good in overtime. Because they've won, obviously, they won in overtime here. They won in overtime last Saturday. They've been a good red zone team. They've been very tough in the red zone. I think their numbers in the red zone this year, I've got their number right here, for goodness sakes. It'll take me more than a second to look it up myself. As to what Ohio State is in the red zone this year. And let's face it, they've got a great football team, obviously. It usually pays off in having great red zone numbers. Let's see here. That'd be under Ohio State, right? Just kidding. There it is. Found it. Let's see. Stop doing that. There we go. One more here. Ohio State red zone this year. Really good. 30 of 34. 88%, 23 touchdowns, 7 field goals. Okay. Not bad. I think the most of them that they didn't score on were on downs. So that helps. It's not bad at all. They really only have one guy out. That's, I think, Dante Booker's the guy I think they're worried about at Ohio State. But Jerome Baker stepped in. He's been so good at linebacker. Yeah, I'm not really sure. I don't think they really lost much with having him in the lineup as opposed to Dante Booker. Booker's a really great prospect, but so is Baker. Baker played a lot of special teams last year. He's a good player. And he adds a little more speed and quickness. So a really solid linebacking group. McMillan, Baker, and Worley. They don't make a lot of mistakes. They're not big play guys, but they don't make a lot of mistakes. And I've talked about McMillan, and Jack and I have talked about McMillan for years. Baker's really new to the mix. Worley's been always a good player. Not a great player, but a good player. And the guy that's really come on in that corner, I mean, they have really good corner play. Lattimore and Conley are really good. That allows the other guys to really take off and thrive. I think Malik Hooker really thrives at safety because of Lattimore and Conley. He thrives there because of those two guys. And also the fact that McMillan's a really good two-way linebacker. Drops into pretty good spots and sets up Hooker. Hooker has 4 interceptions this year. Well, 4 interceptions are in part because of the people he's with. It's made a big difference. And so they're really, really good. And I've had people say to me, why don't you refer to them as a great team? I don't think you refer to anybody as a great team till the entire body of work is in. I'm not really big on saying something, they're a great team. Now, you can refer to JT Barrett as a great college quarterback because there's such a so much of a body of work that extends over years where you can refer to him as a great college quarterback. Now, he's not a pro quarterback. I mean, there's no way he's a great pro quarterback. He will not be a quarterback in the NFL. He'll be like Denard Robinson. I mean, he'll have to change spots in the NFL. Just like Braxton Miller had to change spots in the NFL. Just doesn't throw the ball well enough, and it's just not his bag. But as a college quarterback, in a run-pass option, he's outstanding. But in terms of calling them a great football team, the whole body of work has to be out there before I call them a great football team. Alabama, I won't refer to them right now as a great football team. Still too much work to do. Too quick to want to go to there's too much where people want to go to the ultimate label right away. They're great. They're lousy. They're great. Whole body of work tells you the full story. Now, have they been really good to this point? Yeah, really good to this point. Winning at Oklahoma, very impressive. Winning at Wisconsin the way they did, very impressive. Are they a great football team? Yeah, they're really, really good, but
great only comes once you get to the end. When you've got all the information and all the precincts are reported.